Ready? Shabbat Shalom again. Welcome back to everybody once again. I am going to be speaking today on, we've been going over the fruits of the Spirit, and the one I will be going over is patience and self-control. Patience and self-control, they both go together pretty much. It's hard to have one without the other. And I'm going to start in Proverbs 16:9. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. It says, "A man's heart plans his way, but Yahweh fixes his steps." We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. "A man's heart plans his way, but Yahweh fixes his steps." And I think as I go over the whole message today, which I felt very blessed in studying this and putting it together and learned a lot of different things, that when you're looking at patience and self-control, the whole point of it is remembering the scripture. You know, that in life, we're going to have trials, we're going to go through things, there's many things that are going to come up, but a man's heart plans his way, but Yahweh fixes his steps. That everything we go through, you know, patience is really, and we'll see tied into a lot of the other fruits, particularly faith, you know, that we have to understand this. If you don't understand this concept, that everything that happens in your life is for some kind of greater purpose, Romans 8:28, then you'll never have patience. And we're going to also see what happens with the lack of patience, which is fairly surprising. So I want to go to Titus 2. And just to start off by showing you the importance of patience in the Bible, Titus 2 and 1 and 2, it says, "But you speak things which become sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, sensible, pure, sound in faith, in love, in patience." So again, temperate, self-controlled, and patience. So it's actually one of the things that were commanded to be teaching. You know, here it's talking about the men, but of course it would be everybody in the congregation. So it's actually commanded to be teaching about this. And I think sometimes in Scripture, especially when you look at like the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, that the words that are so commonly used that sometimes we neglect talking about these things enough and really what they mean. And that's why I think it's a great study to do with these things. If you go to Acts 24, we'll see that when Paul was in prison and he comes before the governor, Acts 24 and verse 22. It says, "In hearing these things, Felix put them off, knowing more accurately about the way, saying, 'When Lysias the Chiliarch comes down, I will examine the things as to you.' And having ordered the centurion to keep Paul in comfort and not to forbid any one of his own to minister to him. And after some days, Felix, having arrived with his wife Priscilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul. And he heard him concerning the faith in the Messiah." This is interesting in verse 25. This is what Paul was teaching. You know, now here it is to an actual leader of the country there. "And Paul, having reasoned concerning righteousness, self-control, and the judgment that is to be about, becoming afraid, Felix answered, 'For the present, go, but taking time later, I will call for you.'" So here's somebody who's not a believer, you know, and think about this. If you were in prison and now you're before a leader, and you have just a little bit of time to witness something, what would you witness? And here it is. What is he witnessing about? Righteousness. All thy commandments are righteousness. Self-control. Patience. And the judgment about to come. So you see, it's a very important topic. It's not something that, I don't believe it's a topic that we should just hear one time and forget about it, as we're going to see. This actual fruit of the Spirit is really tied into eternal life. We're going to see it's really impossible to gain entrance into Yahweh's kingdom without patience and self-control. 2 Peter 1. And starting in verse 2. It says, "Grace to you and peace be multiplied by a full knowledge of Yahweh and of Yeshua our Master, who has given us all things that pertain to the power of Elohim, for the life and worship of Elohim through the full knowledge of the one calling us through glory and virtue. By which means he has given to us the very great and precious promises, so that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, escaping from the corruption which is in the world by lust. But also in this very thing, having brought in all diligence, having fully supplied in your faith virtue, and with virtue knowledge, and with knowledge self-control, and with self-control patience. We see the two of them connected. And with patience holiness, and with holiness brotherly kindness, and with brotherly kindness love. For these things being in you and abounding, they will make you never to be useless or unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Master Yeshua Messiah. For the one in whom these things are not present is blind, being short-sighted and forgetting that he was cleansed of his sins in time past. Therefore, brothers, rather be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For doing these things, you will never fall. So we see that patience and self-control is literally the middle building block to all these things. You know, that without it, you can't connect all these different fruits of Yahweh's Spirit and all the things that we need for salvation, like he said, and that we will not be fruitless in our bearing fruit to Yahweh. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So we see patience keeps us from hasty decisions. We must wait on Yahweh, all in His timing, not ours. So again, without patience, what's going to happen? It's going to lead you to be taking things into your own hands. You're going to be making all these decisions in your mind. We talked about, remember, perception. What is your perception? You know, you'll be getting this different perception. And once you go down this road of taking things in your own hands, as we'll see a little later, it's not a very good road. So patience literally keeps you from making hasty decisions and keeps you in the will of Yahweh. Revelation 13:10. Revelation 13 and verse 10 says, "If anyone gathers captivity, into captivity he goes. If anyone will kill by a sword he must be killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So what does he mean by this? If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. You know, whoever into captivity, in captivity will go. Basically he's saying you're going to reap what you sow. So like I just said, if you have patience and you wait on Yahweh, you're going to reap the benefits that come by putting faith in Him. If you don't wait on Yahweh, and you're going to take things into your own hands, you're going to wind up getting results that are not so great. So literally, we reap what we sow. Patience helps us not to take things in our own hands, but to wait on Yahweh. And again, there's many things that this can pertain to. You know, people that see something in the congregation that's not the way they want it, and they don't want to wait on Yahweh to handle the situation, and maybe it even causes them to leave the congregation. People that feel they should be in a certain position, and I've seen this in my 30 years in the congregation. Whether it's somebody wants to be an usher at services, or somebody else becomes a deacon and you say you should be the deacon, or somebody seeking a certain office. You know, and again, Daniel 4 tells us, who's the one that lifts up and who's the one that brings down? Yahweh. So again, patience actually helps us to stay within the will of Yahweh. Who are we to tell Yahweh what position us or anybody else should be in? And all it is a lack of patience. And what we're going to see is, there's a flip side to everything, which we already read. The flip side to patience is what? Pride. When you don't have patience, it's pride that will not let you wait on Yahweh. Because pride is what? We said this. Pride is simply, if you put it in definition, it's giving yourself a false worth that ain't there. Humility, you know, when we're humble, is literally realizing who we really are. And that's why sometimes through trials or through things that happen, we become humbled. And it's a great thing. Humility is never a bad thing. But pride is putting this self-worth to ourselves that's not there. And then we start deciding that we're going to make the decision. This is the way it should be. That's the way it should be. But the bottom line is, if Yahweh wanted any individual to make those decisions, He would have put them in a position to make those decisions. And that's why Romans 13 says, obey our leaders, not just in the congregation, but even in the town. Whether it's your mayor, whether it's the boss at the, you know, where you're working. You know, of course, unless they're telling you to directly do something against a commandment of Yahweh, we have to obey. The way that Daniel did when he was in captivity. You know, he obeyed the king. But when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told to do something against Yahweh, they would not sin. They'd rather go in the fire to do that. But if it wasn't sin, they would merely go and follow what was told to them in patience. And as we're going to see examples in the Bible here, the people that waited on Yahweh the most were the people that wound up being the most blessed. The ones who didn't wait on Yahweh, like I said, the opposite of patience is pride. And we'll see in every case, it led to people being disqualified for Yahweh's kingdom. So that's why I say, starting to study it, I always say, well, this is important. But as I got into it more and more, I realized patience and self-control are absolutely necessary for salvation. You cannot receive salvation from Yahweh without it. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 23 says, keep away from foolish disputes which do not educate, knowing that they generate quarrels. But a servant of Yahweh ought not to quarrel, but to be gentle toward all, apt at teaching, patient, so that he may discipline gently those who argue against him, if perhaps Yahweh may give them repentance for them to know the truth and come to themselves and be saved from the trap of Satan by whom they have been drawn to his will. So again, patience prepares us to be servants and ambassadors for Yahweh. You know, again, in this world, and we all have it, there'll be many, many people in the congregation and out of the congregation who don't believe in the doctrine of Yahweh or don't believe in something. And like I said, as ambassadors for Yahweh, we always say we have to be in state. We have to patiently be able to explain to people. Not be screaming at the top of our lungs, you know, and like you see in the movies, the way they think it's a prophet and with the one tooth and you're going to hell, all of you. You know, it's not Yahweh's way. Yahweh's way is that through his Spirit speaking to us, we know the scriptures and we're patiently able to explain it to someone and hopefully to bring them back to the truth. It doesn't always work, but we see. So here, this was just setting the premise for the rest of the message, but I just wanted to show you by these first scriptures how important patience is for being an ambassador to Yahweh, for being able to make our calling into his kingdom. And now I'd like to show you how patience is a prerequisite for so many of the other gifts of the Spirit. So let's start by Colossians 1. Colossians 1 and verse 10. Colossians 1 and verse 10 says, that you may live a righteous life pleasing Yahweh and bearing fruit in every good work and growing into the full knowledge of Elohim, being empowered with all power according to the might of his glory, to all patience and long-suffering with joy. Patience and self-control. So that you may joyfully give thanks to Yahweh the Father, who has enlightened and made us a worthy inheritance of the saints. So again, we talked about this a few weeks ago, about with the new moon, when we were saying about the importance of the new moon and giving thanksgiving to Yahweh. So without patience, you know, in our life, in our trials and our things, how can we honestly give thanks to Yahweh if we're not enduring things patiently? Because we could put on a face and we could say, oh no, you know, I know that I'm going through this and I thank Yahweh. But if you don't have patience, you can't honestly get on your hands and knees and pray to Yahweh with true thanksgiving unless you have patience in your life. Because again, all those who live righteously will suffer persecution. We're going to suffer it, and that's a good thing. If we're not suffering any persecution in our life, the Bible actually says we're reprobates. You know, so we will go through it, and it's a good thing. It's for purifying. But without patience to endure it, you cannot give Yahweh the proper thanksgiving for the things we're going through. Luke 8 and verse 15, just one verse. I'll read it for you. Luke 8 and verse 15 says, and the seed which fell on good ground, they are those who with an honest and good heart hear the word and retain it and bear fruit with patience. Bear fruit with patience. So we see, you cannot bear fruit without patience. Why? Because we know when you plant a seed, it doesn't come up overnight. You have to plant a seed and then you have to water it and then the stick has to come out and then the greenery and then the ear and then the fruit. So if you don't have patience, what's going to happen? You're going to plant your seed. And if it doesn't come out within a few days, you're going to throw it away and go to something else. And then that seed will die. And I think that I cannot stress this point heavy enough, because in the world we're living in, we're in a very quick pace, fast-paced, easy answer world, right? You got something wrong, what do people want? They don't want to know, you got to change your lifestyle. You know, you have to stop smoking cigarettes. You have to change the way you're eating. So no, give me a pill, and then in 10 minutes, I'm fine. You know, someone has a massive headache. They're not trying to figure out why they have the headache. They just want a pill to get rid of the headache. And that's not Yahweh's way. Yahweh's way is patience. That the fruit that He allows us to be blessed to bear, it takes years to plant and to come to fruition. And just like I was saying, even us being here 11 years, things that we were planting more than a decade ago are just coming to fruition now, that we're seeing the blessings that are coming forth. And even with the Ephraim program, I mean, for 2 years, we've been working day and night, you know, with every human effort we had to try to walk through the door that Yahweh's opening to help people start coming back to the land here. And yet people, when this started 2 years ago, that they wanted immediately, if something wasn't happening within a week or two, I've literally had people that even came here and looked around, they weren't here more than a week and said, nothing's going on, I'm going home. You know, it's like, wow, that's not patient. You've got to wait on Yahweh. And 2 years down the line, I could say, I see so much fruit of what Yahweh's doing, preparing for the sons of Israel to come home. And it's not my doing, it's Yahweh's, it's biblical. You know, He says, when Yeshua returns, He will be the Elohim of all 12 tribes of Israel. And some of you that are here are proof of that by being here, that Yahweh has allowed you to be planted in His land. So you have to have patience to bear fruit, and you have to bear fruit to be in the kingdom. You know, so if you don't have patience, you are not going to bear fruit. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go from thing to thing to thing. And even in a worldly way, we've probably all seen this with people. You ever have a friend that never seems to be able to hold down a job? And every time you throw them, so what are you doing? Oh, now I'm a shoe salesman. Weren't you like a month ago doing something else? Yeah, but that didn't work out. People that will jump from thing to thing to thing. And even in religious circles. You know, there's people that today they're a Jehovah's Witness, tomorrow they're Church of God, and then they're a Yahweh person, and then tomorrow who knows what they are. There's people that literally will just jump. And again, why? Because they don't have patience to endure. And I can honestly say this, and the scriptures back this up 1,000%. You cannot be a true servant of Yahweh without patience, because any true fruit that will be born is going to take patience to bear it. You know, even it talks about inheritance. What does it take to inherit money? Nothing. But you know what the Bible says? If you inherit money hastily, it'll go right out the window. And you'll have nothing. And I've seen it. I even have a relative of mine recently that there was a death. And he inherited a fair amount of money. And within a matter of like a year, maybe 2 years, all that money was gone. And it was a lot. You know, it was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the Bible says it, you know. Wealth gotten hastily will go out the window. But wealth taken little by little with patience, you know, will last. So we want to make sure for bearing fruit. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. He says, but in regard to you, my brethren, we are persuaded better things and things pertaining to life, even though we speak in this manner. For Yahweh is not unjust to forget your work in the labor of love which you showed to His name, ministering to the saints and now are ministering. But we desire each of you to show the same eagerness to the full assurance of the hope to the end, that you not become slothful, but imitators of those who through faith and long-suffering, patience, are inheriting the promises. So again, like Paul said, the race is not to the swift, it's a long haul. And we have to make sure, without patience, what's going to happen? Without patience, we're going to lose hope. We're going to get discouraged. Because things will happen in life. And it's the parable of the sower and the seed, right? Some was on rocky ground, and what happened? They were all excited about it, but the minute persecution came, because there was no root, they fell away. And literally having no patience. What is the definition of patience? The definition is cheerful, hopeful endurance. So it's not just enduring, you know. There's people that endure. I'll endure it, you know, and you hate it every day. You're enduring a job. People endure a marriage. They endure whatever. You don't just endure it. You fulfill it. You literally live it, and you give the most to it. So patience is not just endurance, but it's cheerful, hopeful endurance. It's cheerful, hopeful endurance that we always know what is at the end of our patience. You know, it's the kingdom of Yahweh, an everlasting kingdom, an everlasting life. Romans 5, 3 and 4. Another aspect that patience leads to. It says, not only so, but we glory also in afflictions, knowing that affliction works out patience. And patience works out proven character, and proven character hope. So what do we see here? We see that patience is tied into trials. You have to have patience to endure trials. And yet through that patience, the end result is hope. Now, if you don't have patience, what's going to happen then? The trial, you'll have no hope to the trial. And you'll wear out, you know, and you won't endure. And you'll quit. You'll quit and go back. So patience works out proven character and proven character hope. 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 6, same concept. 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 6. Give no occasion for offense to anyone, in anything that the ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, let us show ourselves as servants of Yahweh, in much patience, in afflictions, in emergencies, in difficulties, in stripes, in imprisonments, in riots, in labors, in vigils, in fastings, in pureness, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love. So the same way, what is he saying? Always be in state. We're ambassadors of Yahweh under any condition, and it doesn't matter what trial you're going through, you have to stay in state as an ambassador of Yahweh. And the only way you can do that is through patience. Because again, if you don't have patience, you will become discouraged, and if you become discouraged, you'll fall away. Romans 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our instruction, that through patience and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. So again, what does this show us? It shows us that we learn patience by other people's experiences. And I'd like to go through now several people in scripture and just share through their experiences and trials they went through how they learned patience of Yahweh. Genesis 50, one of my favorite biblical characters, because, like I say, about always being in state, Joseph, the son of Jacob, always seems to be in state no matter what he's going through. Genesis 50 and verse 15. Now this is right after Israel died. And the brothers are thinking, now that the father's dead, Joseph's going to take his revenge. Because what happened? Hey, you know, I mean, there was a lot that went through this guy. Not only was he sold into slavery, not only did he lose all that time away from his father, away from his family, he spent 13 years in prison, you know, wound up being falsely accused, and none of those things would have happened if his brothers didn't sell him, you know, to a caravan of Ishmaelites. So, I'm going to pick it up in verse 15. And Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead. And they said, what if Joseph should bear a grudge against us and surely should repay us all the evil which we did to him? And they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father commanded before his death saying, you shall say to Joseph, please lift up now the rebellion of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. And now please lift up the rebellion of the servants of the Elohim of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to him, do not fear, for am I in the place of Elohim? And just like I was saying before, a lack of patience leads people to do their own will and literally take the place of Elohim. They're going to decide this, and they're going to decide who should be doing this and who should be doing that. But Joseph had patience, and he waited on Elohim. He didn't take the place of Elohim. And you intended evil against me. But Elohim meant it for good in order to make it as it is this day, to keep a great many people alive. And now do not fear. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke to their hearts. So again, only through patience could Joseph see the vision of Yahweh. And like we said in the beginning, man makes his plans, but Yahweh devises his steps. So he didn't have animosity toward his brothers because he knew it wasn't his brothers that were doing this. Yahweh had a plan. And Yahweh brought him down to Egypt to save a nation. Did he go through many trials? Yes, but the trials were for the purification and the learning of the patience. Would he have had the same patience here at this point if he didn't go through 13 years of imprisonment? Probably not. And we'll see that with almost every leader of Yahweh. They had to be humbled so that when they were given that position of authority, it didn't go to their head. That they didn't become overwhelmed with pride. And that's why Yahweh sometimes will have us go through trials and different things. To learn patience. Joseph gained vision through his patience. Endured 13 years of prison and trials, but he never lost his perspective. He understood even at that point that it was Yahweh that brought him there for a particular purpose. And that's why before he died, what did he say? Even though he was second in command to Pharaoh, he told them, when you go back to Israel, take my bones with you. Don't leave me here. He knew the promises of Yahweh to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And he knew that he was the firstborn. Had the right of the firstborn. And he knew that he wanted to be buried here. Why? Because he knew the resurrection. He knew the time would come that Abraham would be risen up, and he wanted to be right next to him when that would happen, right here in the promised land. We go to 1 Samuel 26. We'll see another great example of patience. Another great leader of Israel. 1 Samuel 26 and verse 5. King David. And David rose up and came to the place where Saul camped. This is when Saul was chasing David. And now Saul is sleeping and Yahweh puts David into his hands. Or puts Saul into David's hands. And David saw the place where Saul lay down. And Abner, the son of Ner, his army commander, and Saul were lying within the barricade. And the people were camping all around him. And David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, saying, who shall go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with you. And David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul was lying down, sleeping within the barricade. And his spear was stuck into the earth at his head place. And Abner and all the people were lying around him. And Abishai said to David, Elohim has shut up your enemy into your hand today. And now please, let me strike him with a spear even to the earth one time, and I will not repeat it to him. So here it is. Same what we said. Abishai wanted to take it into his own hands now. Hey, Yahweh put us here. Let's take it into our own hands and let's kill him. But look what David said. And David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who shall put forth his hand against the anointed of Yahweh and be guilty? Guiltless. How many people would think that way today? How many people sometimes, and I've seen this for my 30 years, this isn't something new, that even in big congregations of 1,000 people, somebody will get a little offense at the elder, at the leader, of something that's said, and they're going to quit. They're going to leave. Like I said in the sermon, Are You a Reprobate? What will draw you away from Yahweh's truth? You know, what offense will cause you to leave his congregation? It makes no sense. But here, if he had this, like he said, who will put his hand against Yahweh's anointed and be guiltless? And David said, as Yahweh lives, except Yahweh strike him, or his day shall come and he dies, or he goes down and is devoured in battle, far be it from me, by Yahweh, from putting forth my hand against the anointed of Yahweh. And now please take the spear at his head and the jar of water, and we will go. And we know in the rest of the story, then David called him and said, hey, I'm not going to hurt you. But that's the way we should be. And like I said, whether it's in the congregation or without, there is no one who's in office, including President Obama and President Bush, that Yahweh is not allowed in those offices. And who are we to be disrespectful, to malign, to cut down? Doesn't mean we have to support the evilness. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that we should be very, very careful, you know, that we need to wait in patience. We need to wait in patience. I'm waiting almost 30 years. When I became a believer in my late teens, it was at that time we were thinking the end was very close. Hasn't happened yet. But patiently had to endure for 30 years, and maybe I'll have to endure another 30 years. That's up to Yahweh. But all I know is I'd rather much more endure in patience to take things into my own hands and maybe lose my eternal life. Extremely important when you look at David. This is one of the things that caused David to be the greatest king of Israel. Because he had patience to wait on Yahweh. He didn't take matters into his own hands. And patience matured David. Remember, he was only 17, just the same age as Joseph. A lot of parallels in the ages there with David and Joseph. They were both anointed at 17. They were both 13 years. Joseph in prison, David being run by Saul. They were both 30 years old when they came to be the leader. You know, so a lot of similarities that we see. But he needed this patience to learn the wisdom of a king. Remember, I always say, David was a shepherd before he was a king. But he had to go through these trials before he had the wisdom to become a king. He didn't have that wisdom at 17-year-old shepherd boy. So it was through the patience that he endured this that Yahweh was able to make him. And then let's look at the end result. Go to Psalm 40. Look what these trials taught David. 13 years. Like I say, it wasn't simple. Think about that. 13 years. A 17-year-old shepherd boy loving your life, having a lot of friends, a good family. And the next thing you know, 13 years, he's on the run for his life. Many times thinking he was going to be killed. Armies after him. What he must have felt. Not even be able to sleep one night without worrying. Are they up in the rocks? Are they going to get to me? But look at what it taught David. Psalm 40. This is the end result of his patience. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, I will keep my ways from sinning with my tongue. I will keep my mouth. Whoops, Psalm 139. Wrong one, but that's a good one too. 40. Same one, a psalm of David, chief musician. Waiting, I have waited on Yahweh. And he turned to me and heard my cry. And he drew me up from the pit of turmoil, out of the miry clay. He lifted my feet on a rock. He directed my steps. And he put a new song of praise to our Elohim in my mouth. Many shall see and shall fear and shall trust in Yahweh. Blessed is the man who sets Yahweh as his trust and does not turn to the proud or to those who turn to a lie. So 13 years of patience made David trust in Yahweh. It built his faith like nothing else could. And that's another thing with patience. Patience builds faith. You cannot build faith without patience. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. We'll see another New Testament figure who had a lot of patience for the things he endured. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Talking about the Apostle Paul. He says, are they ministers of Messiah? I speak as a fool. I, being beyond them, in labors more abundantly, in stripes beyond measure, in prisons much more, in danger of death many times. 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was stoned once. I was shipwrecked 3 times. I have spent a night and a day in the sea in shipwreck. I have been in travels often, in dangers of rivers, in dangers of robbers, in dangers from my own race, in dangers from the Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in dangers in the wilderness, in dangers in the sea, in dangers among false brothers, in hardship and toil and sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, through much fasting, in cold and nakedness. Beside the things outside conspiring against me day by day, I have also the care of all the congregations. Who is sick and I do not feel the pain? Who is caused to stumble and does not have my heartfelt sympathy? If it is right to boast, I will boast of the things of my suffering. The Elohim and Father of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who is blessed forever and ever, knows that I am not lying. But wow, you think of trials we went through and you read this. None of us even came close to this. But he had patience. Paul, through all of this, never once ever gave up the opposite. He has some of the most encouraging, lifting letters in all of the Bible. That you can read these letters and you can really equate of what he went through and build on his patience. But Paul learned his patience through his trials. Because I'm sure he had a lot of pride when he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. You know, when he was a rabbi of rabbis. You know, and here it is though. He learned patience by the things he suffered. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. He says, "Brothers, we are bound to give thanks to Yahweh always concerning you, even as it is right, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of each of you multiplies towards one another." Am I in the right scripture here? 2 Thessalonians, yes, 1. "So as for us to boast ourselves in you in the congregations of Yahweh for your patience in faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions with you endure, a clear token of the just judgment of Yahweh for you to be counted worthy of the kingdom of Yahweh for which you indeed suffer." So again, he's saying we're enduring our trials through patience to build faith for Yahweh's kingdom. And he's actually commending them that they went through so many trials and yet they patiently endured it, building faith for Yahweh's kingdom. And like I said when I started, you know, man makes his plans, Yahweh devises his steps. We have to all, if we always keep that in mind, that anything we're going through has a greater purpose from Yahweh, it will help us to patiently endure whatever we have to. Let's go to Jacob 1. So patience helps us to endure trials. Patience helps us to endure trials. Jacob 1, starting in verse 2. He says, "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience. But let patience have its perfective work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Elohim, who gives all freely and with grace, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea being driven by wind and being tossed. For do not let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Almighty. He is a double-souled man, not dependable in all his ways." So again, we see that he says we should count it all joy when we're going through these trials, because patience helps us to build faith through endurance of the trial. Let's look at a couple of people in Scripture that patiently endured many, many times. I want to start many, many years, I should say. Start in Genesis 5, verse 32. Go there and just listen. I'm going to just read two scriptures just to make one point of the age of Noah. Genesis 5:32, "And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth." And then Genesis, this scripture here is right before Yahweh tells him to build the ark in Genesis 6. And then Genesis 7 and verse 6, "Noah was a son of 600 years and the flood of waters was on the earth." So here it is, wow. You know, he's a son of 500 years. Has his children, Yahweh tells him to build the ark, and then he's going in the ark when he's 600 years. So you can do the math, you can see it took a long time to build that ark. I know people have different theories, but I personally don't think he had any power tools back then. I don't think there was Black and Decker, you know, back in the days of Noah. And you're talking about a massive, I mean, just massive ark that took probably close to 100 years. In a time where there was never one drop of rain that ever came on the earth. There was a mist in the morning that came up and watered, but there was never rain. Can you imagine building an ark that size when it never rained one drop on the earth for almost 100 years? What people must have been saying? Woo-hoo. Oh, Noah, yeah. The ark man, all right. And yet at the same time, if Noah's ark is found, which it may be, we have a trip going there next year, we'll see. You could probably see the scratchings on the door, if it's still there, of the people trying to get in when the rain started. You know, when the canopy of water above the earth just collapsed and flooded the world. But for 100 years, he waited in faith. You're not talking about a few days. Not even 13 years is a long time. Can you imagine 100 years of never losing your focus of what Yahweh is telling you to do and to perform? No matter what anybody says. And unfortunately, I've seen it in our day and age where sometimes people that are even good people and zealous people, that they're influenced not by the Bible, not by their personal prayer with Yahweh, they're influenced by other people. They're influenced what other people are saying, what other people are doing. And wow, if that was my case, I wouldn't even be here today. Because 99.9% of the world doesn't believe like us. If I'm worried about what other people are being like, I might as well stay with the Catholic Church. At least there's a billion of us. You know, maybe I could have joined three religions at one time, you know, become ecumenical. But that's not the case. The point, like I always say, is it true and how does Yahweh feel about this? That's all that matters. And you can't allow outside influences to affect your patience. And even when other people are all against something you're doing, you have to patiently endure. That's what Yahweh wants to see. Like I say, everything in life is a test. And every one of us is going to be tested differently because we're all different. And we all have a different job and we all have a different reward that He's given to us. But believe me, we will all be tested. Nobody who's a true first fruit of Yahweh will not go through this life without that testing. And a big part of the testing is to build our patience and to see if we have patience. But Yahweh will test us. Are we going to go with the masses or are we going to follow with the truth when we know something to be correct? And here's a great example. Here's another one, Hebrews 6 of Abraham. Hebrews 6, verse 13. It says, "For Yahweh, having made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so being patient, he obtained the promise." Now, here it is. Abraham gets called by Yahweh when he's about 75 years old. So he's not a young man to begin with. You know, he's already pretty old. And then he's get this promise from Yahweh. You know, he must have went home, got the wax out of his ears. Did I really hear him say, right? You know, that this covenant, this promise is going to be by me, 75-year-old man? And then 10 years goes by, and 15 years, and before you know it, you know, he's like, oh, well, maybe I heard it wrong. You know, I'm getting close to 90 now, and where is this heir of promise? Even to the point where their faith might have withered for a little bit with the situation with Hagar. But Abraham still stayed faithful to the point of 100 years old. And at 100 years old, when he's having this child, he certainly isn't thinking of a promise in this life. You know? Because I doubt Abraham at 100 years old was throwing a ball around with Isaac, you know, hiking up the Alps and the mountains. No! When that baby was born, when he's 100 years old, everything is thinking of the internal inheritance. Your stars will be like the sand of the sea, and your sons will be like the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. So think of the faith and the patience Abraham had to have to this day. And that's why Yahweh willing, we'll be going to Hebron and Sukkot, and we'll get to be right there where his bones are laying. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. The six matriarch together, right there, getting ready for resurrection. But what patience. What patience he had. And like I said, this world, you can't get in this quick fix mentality. You got to realize, it's a life of patience, it's a life of enduring. But now, what I'd like to go into for the rest of the message is just showing that what the Bible says if you lack patience. We know now patience is pivotal, patience and self-control, to having the other fruits of the Spirit, to bearing fruit, and literally being in Yahweh's kingdom. But what does Scripture say to if we lack patience? Literally it says, if we lack patience, it will lead to falling away. Lacking patience will definitely lead to you falling away and taking things into your own hands. And then you'll get so perverted as you're taking things in your own hands, thinking you're doing it right, it'll be almost impossible to repent from that point. I want to start in 1 Samuel 13 as we're going through some examples in the Bible. And I don't think there's a better example in a negative way than with King Saul. Where David, we saw the opposite. David, we saw when he was ordained at 17 years old, anointed by Samuel, and he 13 years of trial humbled him for the position he was going to take. We see Saul the opposite. Saul actually came into the kingship being a fairly humble man, at least the Bible says it, and coming into that kingship did the opposite to him. It turned him into pride, and it turned him into taking things into his own hands. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 5. "And the Philistines gathered to fight with Israel, with 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the lip of the sea for multitude. And they came up and they pitched in Michmash, east of Beth Avon. And the men of Israel saw that they were distressing to them, for the people were distressed. And the people hid themselves in caves and in crevices and crags and in tombs and cisterns." So this big fight's going on and it's not going well for Israel. And people are literally running and hiding for their lives. And the Hebrews crossed over to the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And Saul was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. And he waited 7 days according to the set time with Samuel. But Samuel had not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered for him. So Saul made an agreement with Samuel. They'd meet here in 7 days, and Samuel was going to come now and make offerings before Yahweh, and hopefully to get a good sign that they were going to win. But Samuel didn't show up yet. So what did Saul need to do? He needed to have patience, but look what he does the opposite. And Saul said, "Bring near to me the burnt offering and the peace offering." And he offered up the burnt offering, totally against Yahweh's judicial order. And it happened as soon as he finished the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Doesn't it always work that way when we don't show patience? Doesn't as soon as we fail the test and we take it into our own hands, then Yahweh shows us what he would have done if we just would have waited a few more minutes, a few more hours, a few more days, a few more months? But by taking things in his own hand, as soon as he did this, Samuel comes. And Saul went out to meet him and to bless him. Didn't even recognize his sin. And Saul said, "Because I saw that people were scattering from me, and you did not come in the day set out, and the Philistines were gathering in Michmash," again, just making excuses, "then I said, now the Philistines will come down to me at Gilgal, and I have not sweetened the face of Yahweh." Are you going to sweeten his face by doing something totally disobedient to his judicial order? "And I forced myself and offered a burnt offering." Wow. Do any of us feel sorry for Saul here? You know? Sounds like Aaron, right? Remember? You know? "They took all this gold and I threw it into the fire and this calf came out." I don't know. It just didn't sound like it could have happened that way. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly that you have not kept the command of Yahweh your Elohim, which he commanded you. For now Yahweh would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not stand. Yahweh has sought out for himself a man according to his own heart, and Yahweh has appointed him as leader over his people. For you have not kept that which Yahweh has commanded you." So Saul literally lost the kingdom, not only for him, but for his children and his whole tribe of Benjamin, because he lacked patience. Have patience. You know, and when it comes to Yahweh's judicial order, Yahweh doesn't change. "I am Yahweh, change not. Therefore the sons of Israel not consumed." So we can't take things into our own hands. I've had people tell me before, people that were non-elders who baptized people. They went out and baptized and they said, "Oh, I know it's wrong, but there was no elder here." Who's in charge? Yahweh or man? Who's in charge? That you're literally something where the Bible clearly says that baptism and laying on of hands are to be done by the elders. That you're going to go out and knowingly do it and baptize somebody? And you're going to make an excuse because there was nobody else here? I see it no different than this story. It's exactly what Saul did. Samuel wasn't around. What can I do? The fight was going on. We couldn't wait. How to sweeten the face of Yahweh. You will never sweeten the face of Yahweh by doing something that's totally against his word. That is not sweetening the face of Yahweh. That is pride. That is arrogance. And that is putting yourself in the place of Yahweh. Lack of patience. You know? And really, patience and faith go so much together. Because what is faith? Faith is simply believing that Yahweh is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is simply knowing that no matter what's happening, Yahweh's in control. It's not knowing the outcome. Faith isn't knowing I'm going to be healed, knowing I'm going to be this. No, faith is trusting that Yahweh is always in control. And patience leads to faith. Because you cannot have that faith to keep trusting Yahweh month after month and year after year if you don't have patience. Because faith doesn't bring the right answer that you want immediately. It does sometimes, but most of the time it doesn't. Faith is an endurance. And if you don't have patience, you won't have it. So Revelation 14:12, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones keeping the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua." That's the patience of the saints. It wasn't the patience of King Saul. The patience of King Saul was, "I'm going to do it my own way because Yahweh didn't provide what I thought he should provide." And again, as soon as he did it, who shows up? Samuel. But the patience of the saints in the end are the ones keeping the commandments of Yahweh. Like I said, no compromise, no retreat. It doesn't matter what everyone's doing. It doesn't matter what's happening around you. It doesn't matter how bad things look. That's what the test is. That's what the building of patience is. You have to follow what you know to be right and accurate. Hebrews 10 and verse 35, we see an admonition here to us in these end times to make sure we keep our patience. It says, then do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of patience, that having done the will of Yahweh, you may obtain the promise. For the time is very short, and he who is to come, and will not delay. But the righteous shall live by faith. Yet if he draws back, my soul is not pleased with him. But we do not belong to those drawing back, which leads to perdition, but to the faith which restores our soul. So we see, we went over this, like I said, at Passover. You know? Becoming a reprobate, having the spirit of perdition. That's the spirit of drawing back. You can't draw back. There's no such thing as staying where you are. You're either moving ahead or you're being pulled back. It's one or the other. And this is the admonition here. The righteous shall live by faith. The faithful do not draw back. You have to continuously be moving ahead patiently in faith in the will of Yahweh. Studying your Bible every day, praying without ceasing, fasting often, meditating all the time. You can't draw back. Because if you let down on those four mandates, Satan is going to be right there to grab you. And patience is the first thing he'll whip from you. Patience leads to all these other things, and without it, you're going to be on your own. Hebrews 12, just one page over, 1 through 3. He says, so therefore we also, having such a great cloud of witnesses lying around us, we're just reading a lot of these examples, which actually helps to really build our faith and our patience. Having laid aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, through patience let us also run the race set before us, looking to the author and perfecter of our faith, Yeshua, who for the joy set before him endured the torture stake, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. Consider therefore how much he suffered from those sinners, for they were adversaries to their own soul, so that you do not become weary, fainting in your souls. And there's no greater example of patience in the world than Yeshua. Think, this eternal being, no beginning, no end. You know, we see him in the first covenant, in the Tanakh. We see him as the messenger of Yahweh. We see him as this powerful spirit in the bush. We see him before Joshua bowing to him as the commander of the army of Yahweh. You know, before Manoah, we see this eternal, powerful being. And he put his divinity to the side, gave up that, and came in flesh and blood for some odd 32, 33 years in the flesh. Did he learn patience? Oh, you better believe he did. It says it right here. And at any time, he could have stopped it. When Peter slices the ear of Malchus, what does he say? Put it back in your sheath. Don't you know I can call my father right now and get 12 legions of angels? And yet he put up with that torturing, spitting at him, mocking him, being crucified, the patience that he had to have to say, Father, enough, take me off from here. And the father would have did it in a minute because he wasn't dying for his own sins. The patience he showed, the great example for us. And like he said, since he went through the suffering and the shame, who are we to not patiently endure? Who are we to say, well, I'm not going to put up with this because of ABC? Whatever shame, whatever trials, whatever suffering we go through can only make us better servants of Yahweh. That's all it can do. It can only help us. And Yahweh is in control. And at any moment that he sees that trial is not going to benefit you, he could stop it in a minute. He could stop it in a minute. So we see Yeshua is the king of patience and gives us the example. Jacob 5. Verse 7. Jacob 5 and verse 7. It says, therefore, brothers, be patient until the coming of our master. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until he may receive the early and the latter rain. Talked a lot about that this year. You also be patient. Set your hearts firmly, because the coming of our master has drawn near. Do we all feel it? Can you taste it? But we have to patiently endure till it comes. Do not murmur against one another, brothers. that you not be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. My brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of Yahweh as an example of your suffering and of your patience. Behold, we call those blessed who endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and you saw what Yahweh did for him at the end. For Yahweh is full of tender mercy and compassion. Wow, Job is a great example of patience. I mean, he lost everything and suffered and boils and everything. But what happened? By him patiently enduring it, in the end he got everything back and more. But what do we see here? We see that if you lack patience, it's going to lead to murmuring. It's going to lead to murmuring. It's going to lead to us attacking each other. It's going to lead to the flesh, the pride coming out. And it's simply a lack of patience. Because what does the Bible say? You go to court and against each other, and that's brother against brother. Why not be wronged? Why not be wronged? And take it patiently. But pride does not take anything patiently. And if we lack patience, we will start to get, like it says here, do not murmur against one another's brothers, that you not be condemned. Exodus 16, we see an example of that with Moses, because the people lacked patience and did not have water. Exodus 16:2, it says, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. Why did they murmur? Because they didn't have food, they didn't have water. And the congregation and the sons of Israel said to them, would that we have died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, and are sitting by the flesh pots, and are eating bread to satisfaction. For you have brought us out in this wilderness to kill all the assembly with hunger. And Yahweh said to Moses, behold, I am will rain bread from the heavens for you. And the people shall go out and gather the matter of a day in its day, so I may test them, whether they will walk in my Torah or not. What's the test here? They went a couple of days without water, a couple of days without food. Simply a test. And it shall be on the sixth day they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be double of what they gather. And Moses and Aaron said to the sons of Israel, at evening you shall know that Yahweh has brought you from the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of Yahweh in his hearing your murmurings against Yahweh. And we, what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, when Yahweh gives you flesh to eat in the evening and bread in the morning to satisfaction, when Yahweh hears your murmurings which you murmur against him, you will see, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yahweh. So ultimately, a lack of patience will lead to murmuring. And again, we're not murmuring against man, we're murmuring against Yahweh, because man makes his plans, but Yahweh devises his steps. So everything that's happening in our life, good, bad, or indifference, comes from Yahweh. Our trials are a blessing from Yahweh, our blessings are a blessing from Yahweh. But we have to understand that in faith. But if you don't have patience to be able to analyze your situations and your trials, this is what's going to happen. You're going to start murmuring, and once you start murmuring, forget about it. Like you see, it will lead you in pride, you'll justify yourself, and it's a one-way road out of Yahweh's kingdom. Ezekiel 18, just a few more scriptures. Because, you know, the one thing that patience teaches you is the road is not to the swift, but it's he who endures to the end. And unfortunately, there's people, even in the Bible, examples, people that were very good people, and then at the end they turned. And it doesn't matter how good we were up until today. It doesn't matter what good things we did in the past. You know, there's no such thing as retirement as an ambassador to Yahweh until his kingdom comes. You can't sit back on your laurels and just say, well, I did all this. No. And we'll see here. You have to continue to endure. You have to continue to overcome. And you can only do that with patience. Exodus 18 and verse 23. He says, I do not take pleasure and delight in the death of the wicked, declares Adonai Yahweh. Is it not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, according to all the abominations that the wicked do, he also does, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be remembered in his treason that he has betrayed, and in his sin that he has sinned. In them he shall die. Wow. So it doesn't matter how good we were before. You know, you even see this. There's people that are really good. They're serving. Next thing you know, they're turning from the truth. They're going back to Sunday. They're doing whatever. And we're thinking of the old person. And sure, we feel bad. We should feel bad. But if somebody does that, if they turn from Yahweh's way, is Yahweh going to give them eternal life? Of course not. It's not like some of these jobs, like government jobs, you put your 20 years in, and now you get pension for the rest of your life. That's not the kingdom of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh is you work until the day Yeshua returns. You occupy, you keep busy in the work of Yahweh. And if you, through lack of patience, turn back, like he says, it doesn't matter how righteous you were before, because you know what? When Yahweh's out of the picture, you're not going to be righteous anymore. You'll be a different person. And we've all seen it. We've seen people that were brothers and sisters to us. And they left the faith, they went back to the world, and you meet them, sometimes even years later. And it's like you don't even know who they were. I had this happen in Church of God. Friends of mine that we were like brothers, lived together. I met them foul mouth, cursing. It was like I never knew them. Totally different people. Because they turned back, like he says here. He says, yet you say the way of Yahweh is not fear. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not fair? Are your ways not unfair? When a righteous one turns from his righteousness and does injustice and dies in them, he shall die for his injustice which he had done. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness that he has done and does justice and righteousness, he shall keep his soul alive. And that's why Yeshua came to the prostitute and the sinners. There's always a chance. You can always turn back. But once you have the truth and you turn back on it, like Hebrews 6, it's virtually impossible to come a second time. Because he sees and turns from all his transgressions that he has done, surely he shall live, he shall not die. But the house of Israel says the way of Yahweh is not fair. Are my ways not fair, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not fair? I will judge you, each man by his ways, O house of Israel, declares Adonai Yahweh. Turn and be made to turn from your transgressions, and iniquity shall not be a stumbling block to you. Cast away your transgressions from you, by which you have transgressed in them, and make for yourself a new heart and a new spirit, the new covenant. For why will you die, O house of Israel? I do not delight in the death of him who dies, declares Adonai Yahweh. So turn and live. So again, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he falls. We need patience to endure to the end. You cannot at any point sit back and think, oh, I'm doing pretty good. Let me sit back on my laurels. Like I said, prayer, Bible study, fasting, meditation. You've got to stay up with it patiently. Doesn't matter where you were before. What matters is where you are at the end. Matthew 24 and verse 9. And this is talking about our times here. You know, he's saying, what is the signs of the end of the age? And he goes through certain things. And then verse 9, he says, then they will deliver you up to affliction and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. So it doesn't sound like we're heading into a time where everybody's going to love us because we're being obedient. And then many will be offended, and they will deliver up one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will be raised and will deceive many. We're living it. And because lawlessness shall have been multiplied, the love of many will wax cold. But the one who endures to the end, that one will have eternal life. Patience. Patience and self-control. Enduring to the end. We have to endure to the end. We haven't even begun to see the worst of the worst. We don't know how many years are left. What if there's 20, 30 years? And it will wax worse and worse, though. The world isn't certainly going to get a shot of morality, and everything's going to turn back to Little House on the Prairie, 1880s. Not unless you're watching it on a video. It ain't going to happen that way. We have to get this mindset of patiently enduring to the end. Really, it's our life or our death. Psalm 37 and verse 9, I'll just read it. He says, for evildoers shall be cut off, and the ones waiting on Yahweh, they shall inherit the land. Evildoers shall be cut off, and the ones waiting on Yahweh shall inherit the land. So again, our life is a life of trials, but by waiting on Yahweh, we're seeing, we're living it. You're seeing your inheritance every day before your eyes. You're seeing what you have to look forward to. You have vision, because just look out your window. There's the vision. Yahweh has something wonderful in store for those who love Him, but we have to patiently endure it. 2 Timothy 1:7, I'll read it also. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For Yahweh did not give a spirit of cowardice to us, but of power and of love and of good discipline." Power and love and good discipline. We talked about this at the Bible school. Either through patience you are submitting and self-control, or you're not being led by the Spirit of Yahweh. It's that simple. Either in patience you are submitting and self-control, or you're not being led by the Spirit of Yahweh. And discipline is something that just doesn't come. Discipline is something that you have to repeat over and over. That's why when we talked about neuroassociations, why it's so important to understand them. Because whether you understand them or not, we all have them. But by understanding it and being able to change the negative associations and to solidify the positive ones, and it's all through repetition. That's the way Yahweh made us. Because if we train up our child in the way he will go, when he's older, he won't depart from it. And that's by repetition. We have to, through repetition, that's the way you're going to get proper discipline. Like he says here. Either we are learning obedience through patiently enduring our trials and life struggles, or we will become self-willed and rash individuals in our decision-making. Quick, rash, illogical decisions are not by the Spirit of Yahweh. Without patience, we will get frustrated, we will falter, and we will not endure to the end. We will then grow a root of bitterness and fall away as salted. How important is patience? Most other fruits and your eternal life depend on having patience. The last scripture, Luke 21:19. By your patience, you will gain your soul. By your patience, you will gain your soul. So, like I said, a real blessing for me that I had really studying this the last couple of weeks and really seeing how important it is to have patience and to work on it. I pray it was a blessing to you and to the ones who will see this later. So Shabbat Shalom and Yahweh bless.